Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. This season, join me for the Men of Faith in Business podcast takeover. Join me to hear the stories of powerful men of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Hello and welcome back to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. Super excited to have my next guest with me on this season of the Men of Faith takeover of the podcast. And my next guest is Russell Gordon. He is a native Washingtonian. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Yes. He is married, doesn't have any kids. He's been married for 32 years. Raised and educated in Rockville, Maryland. He attended Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Russell worked in corporate America and U.S. government environment for 12 years before his entrepreneurial journey. He has been associated with over 15 business ventures over the last 25 years, and he is currently a real estate developer for the last 5 years. He is always on the lookout for the next business opportunity and a great venture. Welcome to the podcast, Russell.
Wow. Thank you so much, Nadine. Appreciate that that intro. Thank you. Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that maybe they wouldn't know from your bio?
You know, ultimate optimist, I think, always looking for the positive and even in negative situations. And I think that has helped and served me very well in my, you know, in my journey.
I agree. Optimism is the best. Looking for the positive, no matter what the situation is so important. So I love that. Yes. So as you know, this podcast is all about faith plus business. And this season with the Men of Faith taking over, it's all about the faith and business journeys of men of faith. And everyone's business journey is different. Everyone's faith journey is different. But one thing I know for sure, we can all learn from people's journey. So I'd love for you to share with the audience, what has your business journey been like? I know we heard a little bit in your bio, but explain to us what that journey looked like to now be an entrepreneur and business owner.
Sure. No, great question. I appreciate that. So interesting. That's a great question, because I often ponder and look back on that and see where, you know, where God has taken me and where he has diverted me, I dare say. So graduated from high school. I think I was a typical high school kid looking forward to the world. You know, back in my day in the 80s, obviously it was, you know, you had to go to college, get a degree, that equals success, right? So that's what I was taught. That's what I was brought up in. And growing up in the area I did, education is very highly encouraged, especially within my family. And so when I went to college, I wanted to be an engineer. And at Morehouse College, it just turned out that that wasn't my path. And I dropped out and came back here and looked at some other things to do, and still just couldn't figure it out until one day one of my mentors planted something in me. And he said, he was looking back at my, when I was a kid doing Kool-Aid stands, shoveling snow, hustling, cutting grass, all those things I did. He told me, and I'll never forget it, his name is Ron Smith. He's told me that he goes, Russ, you've been an entrepreneur all your life. And I didn't know that, but it was an aha moment for me, understanding that college, getting a college education was not my path. And from that point, I decided to engage in entrepreneurship. And when I did that, my life changed. And it really changed when, and I thank God for the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. I call myself one of his entrepreneurial disciples. I would encourage anyone to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and certainly the second book, I think it was the second or third book, Cash Flow Quadrant. Those two books changed my life, you know, and I believe God placed those books in my life for a reason. So, you know, from that point on, it, you know, I've been an entrepreneur ever since. And, you know, and God, again, I believe, placed those books so that I could learn and grow. So that's where I am.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I love how your journey started off on a traditional path, right? We all hear the path to success is education and getting a good job. And a lot of us get on that journey. We get on that path to success, but that's not the path for everyone. God has different paths for all of us. Yes. And knowing that, you know, sometimes the answer is always there all along, but it takes someone else seeing it for you, right? In that individual seeing, hey, you know, you really had this entrepreneurial spirit all along. You may not have recognized it for yourself, but you have it. And then once you recognize it, having those resources to help you along the way. And God always provides divine connections, divine resources. And I'm definitely an advocate for Thinking Grow Rich. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was one of my top five books. Thinking Grow Rich is another one. That's probably why I mentioned it. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad was definitely changed my mind to a lot of things, you know, and opened up my mind to a lot of things. So I definitely agree with you that it's a powerful book. And I believe anyone should read it, entrepreneur, non-entrepreneur, because it really helps you to open up your mind and to know that put you on the path to this entrepreneurial destination or entrepreneurial journey that you are on as a business owner. So I love that that was a part of your business journey. Yes. So I'd love for you to share with us your faith journey, because this podcast is all about business and faith. Sure. And everyone's faith journey is different. How you become a believer in Jesus Christ looks different for everyone. So share a little bit about what your faith journey looked like.
Sure, absolutely. Going back to Morehouse College, Antioch Baptist Church, was introduced to Christ early on in my life, but I did not accept Christ until I was in college. And I was in Antioch Baptist Church. I never forget, a little small Baptist church at the time. It's much larger now. And I remember the minister offering the invitation. And being in college, they had what they call watch care, where they would come pick us up and take us there. And I remember probably maybe my second or third time there, I was with one of my friends, and I remember the invitation came, and I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, are you going to believe in Jesus Christ because your parents told you to, or are you going to make the decision as a young adult? And so my faith journey, I say that was when I was introduced to Christ and allowed to understand him. And the way I answered that invitation, that question was, I don't understand everything about this man, Jesus Christ, right? But I know enough about him, just the little things I knew, to put my faith in him. And from that start in my early, you know, I was 18 years old, from that point to where I am now at 57 years old, getting ready to turn 58. So we're talking about, you know, a 40-year relationship here. He has blessed me. I remember even before I was saved, I used to pray for wisdom, because my dad taught me, son, you know, wisdom. My father never taught me, you got to believe in God. You got to believe. He goes, no, I'm just showing you things out there that'll help you. So my dad pointed out wisdom. So I used to pray for wisdom all the time. And now here I am, a grown man, still praying for wisdom, because you never arrive, right? And I look at the fact that he allowed me, you know, again, through that decision, to really allow me to make some very wise decisions in my life, because I had that relationship with him early on at 18, including my wife and my marriage. She's one of my business partners and my wife, 32 years, and, you know, still going at it one day at a time, right? But the faith, I think, for me as an entrepreneur, making that early decision. And I know everyone is, you know, to your point, everyone comes to Christ in different times, and some people never do. But I would encourage anyone who doesn't have a relationship to just investigate, you know, just investigate them. And I dare say the power that is in his few words that are written in scripture. And I do say few. I mean, there's not a whole lot, but I mean, if you really look at it, but the words are so powerful. I think it represents freedom. It represents a spiritual power that is unmatched, in my opinion. So, yes, that's how I grew.
No, I love that. And I actually love that your faith journey, because it's different than what I hear from a lot of people. Like a lot of people in that those years of like late teens to 20s, that's more of their wilderness season, their rebellion season. That's where they're actually out there doing their own thing, kind of not really on that path to learning more or being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I love that your story is slightly different in that those were the years where you were seeking and getting that personal relationship and knowing God for yourself and not saying it's I believe just because my parents believe, but I want to believe for myself. So knowing that those young, tender ages were the ages where you were actually deepening your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is a really good thing. So I love that that was a part of your faith journey.
Yeah.
So how would you say you combine your faith and business? What does combining faith and business look like to you?
For me, it looks like always praying first on something. And I may not always do it. And Lord knows I can give you experiences of a few. You see in my bio, 15 businesses. I can think of at least 7 of those, if not 10 of those businesses that failed. I did not pray about first. In hindsight, I look back, I said, oh, great business opportunity. Go right in. You know, I may have said something like, you know, God bless this venture. Thank you. Or something. I did not go into deep thought. So what that looks like for me today is praying first, and waiting and being patient. And because I think that it's easy to say, oh, I prayed for it. And okay, God, give me the answer. God doesn't move in our timeline. You know, I believe the God of the universe is much larger than that, but I do believe the God of the universe, again, in my opinion, gives us clues or signals. And he puts people in your life, things that if you're connected, you had a relationship, you had that daily connection, which I think all of us, you know, work on. You know, I dare say I don't know anyone who's perfect because there's no perfect human being. But if you have a consistent relationship with God on some level, and you're constantly asking God, you know, whether it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but sometimes I wake up at that time asking God, you know, what do I do? Or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if you're constantly seeking him and asking him, you know, what's the next step? What do I do, Father? Just, you know, something simple. This is one of my prayers is, Lord, I need you right now. Just help me through this task right now, because I don't know what to do. And I think that connection has served me well. Because when I look back on it, even the business that I have failed in, he has, you know, blessed me and allowed me to learn from those. And the ones that I'm successful in, I can say, wow, he, you know, through those failures, he's helped me, you know, get to where I am now. And I do have, you know, out of those 15 businesses, there's a couple of home runs in there, which I thank God for, because those failures, one of my partners said, don't call them failures. Call them experiences. So again, to try and mature, they were experiences, but I think God allowed me those experiences to get to where I am now. And I'm always looking for more. You know, I think I am a serial entrepreneur, should I say.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I love that. And it's so important to recognize that failure is a part of the process, right? A lot of times we feel it's the opposite of success, but it's actually a part of success, because that's how we learn the lessons so we can be successful. So failures and mistakes are honestly, as entrepreneurs and business owners, things we should embrace. It sounds hard and it's difficult, but it's true. And you're an example of that when you have those experiences, you know, a failure, it helped you along the path to success and successful businesses. So it really is a part of the process. And I love that when you shared about combining your faith in your business, you said it starts with prayer, right? Inviting God into your business or your decision making in your business is so important, and having that level of praying, not just to the fact it's like, oh Lord, help make this successful. It's like, no, I'm seeking you first, and I'm praying about it in order to get guidance and direction. And as you said, he gives us signs, he gives us clarity, he gives us things and signals along the way to help guide us and keep us. But we also have to be patient. That's the other thing that you mentioned. So it's not just praying and expecting instant gratification, but looking for the signals, looking for the signs, and being patient throughout the process. So I love that's how you combine your faith and your business. So one of the things as believers, we're always looking for hearing from God, right? Knowing that this is something that God said, right? Sometimes I feel it can be slightly a hindrance, in my opinion, because it's like, oh, I don't want to take the step because is this God? Is this not God? Is this my flesh? Is this my spirit? You know, there's a lot of that back and forth as believers. And sometimes I feel that it stops us from just taking a leap of faith and trusting. But how would you say that you hear from God? How do you know when it comes to direction in your business after you've prayed and you've been patient? How do you know that this is actually the direction that God is leading you in? What does hearing God's voice when it comes to business look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Wow, that's challenging. What does it look like for me? You know, and it's interesting because I could say, well, if I made money in it, then that's God, right? But that's not necessarily the case. I think for myself, if I have to look at it, because right now, you know, I'm on this, and in my bio, I am a developer. Okay, so as a real estate developer, I'm looking at, you know, we just closed on, and I'll just share with you, we just closed in January, my first major project, $25 million loan, building an apartment building. And what's interesting is I've watched the relationships form from this particular business venture. And I'm realizing that, and I've been praying for this for over 5 years. I've been wanting to be a developer for almost, gosh, 10, 15 years. And interesting, my aunt, God rest her soul, planted that seed in me about 15, 20 years ago, who said, do you want to help me develop some land? I said, yeah, I want to be a developer. So I watched how God put people in my life that allowed me to get to where I am. Now, where I am as a developer, I'm looking at God, because it's not all about the money. I said, God, what do you want me to do with this opportunity? So I think part of it is, in terms of, you know, answering your question, what does it look like, is how can I bless other people? And I, you know, one of my passions, which I didn't mention in my bio, is I mentor young men. I've been mentoring young men for over 20 years, actually close to 25 years, because my oldest is now, gosh, 34. And I mentored him when he was 7 years old. So I'm just sort of giving you some context. But the way God is now answering those, you know, that question is, how can you bless other people with this opportunity? So it's not all about you. It's not all about, oh, okay, you make $100,000 this year. You know, that's not necessarily God answering it, but he's saying, what are you going to do with that money? Because it's not, again, not all about me. And I think that there's a balance there. And obviously enjoying life, enjoying the fruits of your labor, and how can I bless others? So I don't know if that answers your question. You know what I mean?
It does. What I heard from you is that, you know, how you know that you're hearing from God is knowing that it's not just about you. It's about impacting and helping other people. So really understanding that the work that you're doing is going to be helpful, is going to be impactful, is really hearing from God's voice, because it's not a selfish desire. It's not you just wanting to make billions of dollars and have, you know, the lifestyle and the cars and the big houses. No, it's about God's heart for other people and helping other people and the impact that you can make with other people. So what I heard is hearing God's voice and knowing it's God's voice is knowing that it's about helping other people at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, that's it. And I just want to piggyback on that because I think it's important, because God recently did this too. It was what I just said to you. I have rental properties. Real quick story. I have rental properties, which who's helped me get into where I am as a developer in terms of, you know, career-wise. Now, the rental properties are doing well, which allowed catapulted me into the development realm. But God spoke to me, it's been about 6 months ago, and three of my young men that I mentor, told me to make sure that you allow them to become real estate owners. So I have them saving money to buy into one of my rental properties. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, the creativeness of that, and I'm not giving myself credit at all, but the creativeness of that is allowing these young men who are working hard, save money, allow them to have a piece of real estate and rental property and understand passive income and have a piece of that. That's part of my, to what I was just saying, like, it's not all about me. Like, okay, I can keep all that money myself, but why do that when you have enough to meet your needs, when you can bless these young brothers? And so I look, that's sort of an example, like, okay, God, that's why you blessed me with these rental properties, not to your point, just to buy the nice car, and which I could do, but that's not what it's about. So I think that's part of the answering of prayer. Like, God is saying, okay, what are you going to do with these resources I'm giving you? Because they're not really yours. They're mine to manage. And so I'm actually, as we speak, I have one of them that saved $1,000. I got all three of them saving $1,000. The other two are not quite there yet. One of them, Mr. Gordon, I got so many expenses. I'm trying to get there. So again, I'm just digressing, but I that's part of how God, you know, clarify or gives me solid evidence that he's within, you know, what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love that example because it's so true. You heard a word, right? You heard God's voice about helping them obtain their own property and start down the path of real estate. And so you took the steps, right? The steps of telling them, okay, you need to save $1,000. You need to do these. So hearing from God put you in action with how you were going to help other people. So that, yes, to me is like a good example of what you just said from hearing God's voice. You heard a word, you took action, and that action helps other people along the path, which is what God desires for us to do as we are lights in the world, you know. Amen. Helping, amen, other people along the path, for sure.
Amen.
For
sure. Amen.
So there are actually, since this podcast is all about faith and business, there's actually two signature questions that I ask on every, okay, single season to every single guest regarding faith and business. So okay, the first one is, how would you define the power of faith? How would you define the power of faith?
The power, define it. The power of faith. I would define it as a unmatched discipline. Hard to, it's, I'm talking, I'm just thinking out loud, hard to achieve at times, but essential to growth and forward mobility, if you will. That's how I would define it. Yeah. And as I talk it out, but I think it's so important because if you're true to your faith, at least I know, I believe, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but if I'm true to my faith has been wavered at times without question. But then through my silence, through my silent season, through my quiet season, through my seasons of, as Ephesians tells us, and I know, you know, most believers are familiar with Ephesians, with, you know, being fortified with the helmet and the shield and the sword, with all those things necessary to go through the battle. But if you, and I know some believers know this and some don't, if you notice, that Ephesians illustration of the putting on the full armor only protects mostly our front. It does not tell us, or, you know, if we turn around and we run from the battle, we're not protected from the back necessarily. So my point is, when we're in that battle, the faith, you know, having the faith, you know, the shield of faith, keeping it in front of you and just standing and not doing anything when you can't move, I think is essential. So without that, I don't know where I would be. So defining faith for me means it has to become a core discipline and core belief in my walk. Because if it's not, if I don't have any faith, then Lord knows how many pitfalls I could have walked into. Certainly wouldn't be married right now. So I wouldn't be married. I may not have been in a couple of businesses I would not even been successful in that are running good now without faith. I would have walked away. So, I hope that answers your question, but to define it, it's essential discipline, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love it. I heard, the power of faith is really what you need in order to grow and move forward. It is essential to growth and forward movement. Faith is essential for those things. So that's what I heard with the power of faith.
Yes.
Now, how would you define the power of business? How would you define the power of business?
The power of business. The power of business would be defined as, great questions. I love it. I love being challenged. The power of business. The power of business is creating, allowing yourself to create something out of nothing. I go back to my Kool-Aid stand. So my friend who's also an entrepreneur to this day, he actually is my best friend. We talk about how when we were kids, we wanted money. So our parents, I know for my household, I didn't get allowance. I was just cutting the grass. I do all that for living in the house, right? So we wanted money. So business for us looked like riding our bikes several miles away, buying candy for 2 cents, coming back to the neighborhood and selling to the kids in the neighborhood for 5 cents. So that for me, the power of business is creating something out of nothing. In this case, again, as my earliest illustration, the power was creating money out of nothing. So I guess to define it would be for business, creating something out of nothing. And I will say this, a real quick story. I won't go into the complete detail, but I'll say this. My first real estate deal was that exact definition. I created something out of nothing. After reading, here's the power, Robert Kiyosaki's book, which talks about words or leverage, I generated, my first deal was $250,000. I made with a $70,000 loan that I didn't even come out of pocket with. It was all words. I look at that. Even when I got that first check, I remember saying to myself, you created a business. You created basically a $250,000 deal with no money of your own, no risk of your own, only based on a thought and using words that Robert Kiyosaki taught you from the book. And for me, that was how I started into real estate. That was my first deal. So again, the power of that, again, creating something out of nothing. And the money is really immaterial. I just mentioned it because at the time, when I saw the check, I was just like, wow, this is real. Like you just did something that, a few weeks ago before you read the book, you would not have even thought was possible. So again, power, defining business is the power to create, something, and again, not necessarily wealth, but to create something, generating, most businesses' goal is to generate cash, right? Generate money. So to generate that, to generate that from nothing, because it really is, I'm sure you're an entrepreneur, you start a business, you can go to, there's colleges, but there really is no perfect book on how to start a business. Because as you said earlier, everyone's on a different entrepreneurial journey. Your journey is different than mine. If I ask you, I started my business doing this, this, and this, mine would be completely different. So I think that's powerful.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. The power of business is creating something out of nothing, right?
Yes.
Creating something out of nothing and having just a thought or an idea, and that's kind of why I also like the book Think and Grow Rich, because it talks about everything that we look at was a thought. Someone thought about it and then manifested it, created it, And then someone had to buy it. So that's how they grew rich, rich, right? So Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Think and Grow Rich, I almost feel like they're a combination for really shifting your mind as an entrepreneur and business owner, because they're both so powerful. They're both so powerful. Yes. So I love that definition of the power of business, creating something out of nothing. Out of nothing is really the power of business. So this has been a great conversation, Russell. If people want to get to know you a little bit better and the work that you do and your real estate development and all the amazing things that you're doing in the world, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure. Thank you. Yes, they can email me at the Russ at the WBDC.net. That's WBDC.net.com. They can also reach me. I have two emails. Other one is tgordon, G-O-R-D-O-N 907 at gmail.com. They can email me. I, as I told you earlier on, I am an open book when it comes to entrepreneurs. I have several mentees that I mentor in business, open to answering any question to for any entrepreneur, you know, woman, man, whoever. I don't have any boundaries. I think that's part of what I said earlier about being an optimist. I believe every entrepreneur, this is just my opinion, every entrepreneur should be open to talking to anyone. I teach my young men that I mentor when they go into a room to say hi to everybody, no matter what they look like, no matter what gender, no matter how weird they may look, especially in this time of, you know, of non-binary and multiple, like accept it. But don't judge anyone for what they look like. If a man's wearing a dress, be able to say hi to him. And I'm just throwing that out there with no shade. Or it's just I think you have to learn to respect everybody, but be open to everybody again, because in my path or in my walk, I've realized that, and especially as a believer, we should be open to everybody, because that person that you may not feel comfortable with saying hi to may be the person that could change your destiny. And anyway, I went a little further than that, but anyone can reach out to me, email me, and I'll be glad to engage them and help in any way I can. Again, I'm very honored to be with you and your guests. And hopefully I said one or two things that could help somebody.
Yes, definitely. I'm sure you said one or two things that will help people. Definitely a great conversation. And it's so true. We're not here to judge what people do, what they look like, what they say. Judging is not what we're here to do. We're here to meet people, love people. That is what we are put here on earth to do. So I totally agree with what you said, be accepting of people and just love on them like God told us to do, right? Love people. Yes, so that is definitely a good answer. And definitely connect with Russell on email, reach out to him. He gave you two options for email addresses. So if anything resonated with you or you just want to learn a little bit more, connect with him, I encourage you to reach out via email to connect with him. So thank you so much, Russell. This has been a great conversation. I have enjoyed this episode of the Men of Faith Takeover of the Women of Faith Business, Women Faith Plus Business podcast. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate you being on this season. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information you can use, but was insightful and inspirational. Wherever you are listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episode or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover three powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That's 404-982-4736. 4736.